Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we looked at the beginning of Hebrews, first couple chapters. We heard how Jesus is the final revelation of God's word to his church. How at various times and in many ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these days he speaks to us by his Son. The writer said that Jesus is the radiance of the Father, comparing Jesus to a ray of light emitting from the sun. He said that Jesus is the exact imprint of the Father's nature, comparing him to the indentation left by a signet stamp. And he uses these two images to show us the closeness between Jesus and the Father, so that when we hear now that God speaks to us through his Son, we know that the message comes from God himself. And so the author then encourages us to hold fast to the word of Jesus. He reminds us that even though our physical eyes don't see Jesus in control of all things, the eyes of faith do. And when the eyes of faith see hardship and trials and difficulty and suffering in our lives, we remember that Jesus was made perfect through suffering. Jesus reached the fulfillment of his mission through suffering. And Jesus is now crowned with glory and honor because of his suffering and his death. And as with Jesus, so also with us. We will reach the fulfillment of our calling as the children of God through suffering, through hardship, because we reach resurrection through death. And we will face temptation, but when we do, we take comfort that Jesus was tempted first. He knows our struggle, and he walks through it with us. And so chapter 3 then picks up with a comparison between Jesus and Moses. Just as Moses was faithful to the vocation God gave him, as the one who delivered God's word to Israel of old, so also Jesus is faithful to his vocation as the great apostle sent by God, the one who proclaims the good news of the kingdom. And just as Moses was faithful in building the tabernacle that God designed for him, so also Jesus is faithful to his calling as the great high priest. However, even though both Moses and Jesus were faithful to God's call, Hebrews tells us, Jesus is worthy of greater honor than Moses, worthy of more glory, as much more glory as the house is, as much more glory as the builder of the house has more honor than the house itself. Because the house does not design itself. The house requires the hands and effort of another to bring it into existence. And so although Moses built and furnished God's house in the tabernacle, Jesus is the tabernacle. Jesus is the Word made flesh, God dwelling among us. He is the fulfillment of the temple. Moses was faithful over God's house as a servant. Jesus is faithful as the Son. And now Jesus is building a new house for God to dwell in, a house made of human stones, us. We are his house, Hebrews says. The church is his temple. He dwells here among us to forgive our sins, to bind us to each other as the body of Christ here on earth. And that's where today's reading picks up. Moses had been faithful in the vocation God had given him. But what about the Israelites? Did they not harden their hearts at the border of Canaan? Did they not ignore the optimism of Joshua and Caleb? Did they not ignore the promise that the Lord gave them, that he would deliver the land into their hands? For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was the Lord provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did the Lord swear they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So Hebrews says, we see that they were unable to enter the promised land because of their unbelief. So take care, Hebrews says, lest there be in any of you an evil and unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. For the reality is, we face the same temptations they did. We face the temptation to reject our Lord's word, to forget his promises, as did the hard-hearted Israelites. The Lord had delivered them from slavery to Egypt through the water of the Red Sea. The Lord has delivered us from slavery to sin through the water of baptism, claiming us as his own children, putting his name on us as our Father, promising to provide for us, to protect us. And yet the Israelites grumbled on their journey. They questioned whether God had truly ever cared for them, whether he had brought them out into the wilderness to kill them in the desert. How well do we trust our Lord's guiding hand in our lives? How quick are we to grumble about our circumstances? Not simply to voice displeasure or frustration. No, our Lord desires to hear our prayers, even when those prayers are a cry of lament. Such a prayer is a cry of faith. That's not what Hebrews warns us against. Hebrews warns us against an unbelieving heart, a heart that can't see through the difficulties of this life, a heart that refuses to believe God's promise to work all things for our good, a heart that refuses to believe that God has me under his control, that he has my best interest at heart. The Israelites lived in fear of the enemies before them in the Promised Land, choosing fear over trust. How quick are we to give in to fear when we look out at the circumstances of the world around us? I think it's safe to say that we all struggle with these things because life is tough in a fallen and sinful world. We struggle with the enemies around us, struggle with the enemies within us. Where are we to look for hope in these times of trial? The author of Hebrews points us to a place we might not expect. He doesn't point us to prayer, although, to be fair, the solution certainly includes prayer. He doesn't actually even point us to Scripture, even though, yes, the solution ultimately includes Scripture. Where does he point us? He points us to each other. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another. Now again, to be clear, he's encouraging us to exhort one another with the promises of Scripture, because there's no greater comfort we could ever give to each other than the comfort of our Lord's word. And he is encouraging us to exhort one another to pray for each other, to place our trials into the hands of the only one who can actually do anything about them. Scripture and prayer are the means that are actually accomplishing anything, but Scripture and prayer don't exist in a vacuum. We don't exist in a vacuum. We are the church. We are the body of Christ, and as the body of Christ, we have a vested interest in what happens to each other. The foot cares what happens to the hand. The eye cares what happens to the ear. And the head cares about what happens to all of it. Exhort one another as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so we kneel together at this altar, weekly at this table, to bind ourselves to each other as the body of Christ. We eat from the same bread, we drink from the same cup. And this blessed communion unites us not only to our Lord, but also to each other. And so we care what happens to each other. We take time to get to know each other. We stick around after church to have a cup of coffee and a donut with each other. We learn each other's names. We learn each other's lives, where we grew up, where we work, what our hobbies are, what our interests are. And we learn what each other's struggles are. We listen for where the seeds of despair might creep in. We listen for where Satan would chip away at the armor of God. And we exhort one another, we encourage one another with the word of promise. We pray for one another. We don't try to go it alone, because the truth is, we are not alone. And so we don't pretend like we're alone. We exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of us may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. What a gift we have in the body of Christ, in our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are part of His holy church, that we have been called out of the ways of the world and called into life together, a group of people, a congregation gathered around our Lord's word and around His gifts. Hebrews tells us Jesus is faithful over God's house as a son, and it tells us that we are that house. Yes, that refers to the whole church on earth, but even more so, it's us, the people here, the people who are in this room together every Sunday, who commune together, who pray together, who laugh together, who cry together, who watch out for each other, and who live life together. What a gift we have in our Lord's church. May we continue to receive each other as a gift, as our traveling companions on the road of life, fellow sheep in the flock of the Good Shepherd, who is guarding us, who is protecting us, who is guiding us through the difficulties of this life, shepherding us into the life to come together. In Jesus' name, amen.